Hi, this is Brent Statham. We're here at Scale 14, right? I've got Nathan Haynes, the local community council member with Ubuntu. It was kind of cool walking around the booths here and seeing all the various Linux distributions and things that are here. And I know from my own experience on Azure, Ubuntu seems to be sort of just that go-to distribution that a lot of people use. So I'd love to learn more about it. And so first of all, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Nathan Haynes, and I'm a member of the Ubuntu Local Community Council, and as well as the leader of the Ubuntu California Local Community Team.
Okay.
And so I try to not only advocate for Ubuntu, but help others who want to spread the word, need disks, need speakers, and so on, in the California community. And then globally, when teams have questions or are starting up, we try and provide a little direction for them and get them started.
Gotcha. Now, interesting to me, though, that you were saying that this is all volunteer, right? So the community council member, you're not a paid Ubuntu employee. You're a volunteer organization.
Yeah, I'm a member of the community. And so in Ubuntu, it's a meritocracy, like all free software. It's a duocracy. So people who want to become involved start doing the things they want to do, developing, coding, writing documentation, speaking, running booths. And when they do great jobs, they have the opportunity to volunteer, be appointed, or elected to different leadership positions.
Very cool. Awesome. Now, we were talking about that relationship between Ubuntu, the distribution, or the OS, and Canonical. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So Canonical is founded to provide financial support and technical support for Ubuntu so that when you have a free software project, it's like herding cats. People can jump in and do whatever they want. But there are certain things to have a reliable OS that need to be done. You have to have a certain kernel security updates. That's not fun, but it has to be done. And so Canonical is there to make sure that there's a core direction Ubuntu moves in. And then that also frees the community to pursue whatever they like to do without compromising the security and reliability of Ubuntu. Ubuntu's made very bold decisions as far as design. So for example, the Unity desktop that was weird at first, but now we see the phone, we say, oh wow, it's the exact same thing. And it made a lot of sense. Canonical and Mark Shuttleworth having a single vision driving everything makes a big difference, and then that lets the community kind of be a little more free to do side projects.
Gotcha. So I guess I sort of take it for granted that people know what a Linux distribution is, but can you explain that?
It's really weird if you've never heard it before. So a Linux distribution, an operating system is a lot of parts. There's a kernel that does all the driver and hardware stuff. There's a user space, which is all the programs that you interact with. There's a graphics system, all sorts of modules that provide different services. And so you'll see, if anyone's ever in Windows open the system service management console, there's all these services running all the time. It's built up a lot of different pieces. So in the free software world, those pieces can come from different projects. People focus on what they want. So a Linux distribution is the Linux kernel, the GNU user space, all the command line stuff, a graphics display server such as X-Windows or soon to be Mir or Wayland as we're transitioning. Okay. That'll be invisible to the user. So a distro takes all these thousands, tens of thousands of software needed to run an OS, packages them together, and files off all the rough points, makes it, it's like building a model kit sometimes. So all the pieces come together. The distro lets you basically just buy the finished product and have a good experience.
So what's the relationship between Ubuntu as a distribution and just sort of the core Linux project? As they rev, you rev?
Pretty much. So the Linux kernel itself has updates. Ubuntu updates every 6 months, and so we take the latest Unix kernel, latest Linux kernel, usually up to about 2 or so months before the release, because we need to make sure everything's fine, polish it, and we sort of sit there. So every release has a newer kernel, and for the long-term support releases, as newer kernels come out in the subsequent interim releases, so every 6 months there's a new Ubuntu. Every 2 months, every 2 years, we say we're going to support this release for 5 years, be rock solid, rock stable. So there's the ability then to upgrade newer kernels there, otherwise it sort of stays the same.
Right. So are there multiple editions? I mean, versus long-term support, is there Ubuntu desktop and Ubuntu server, or is it one Ubuntu?
Well, the interesting thing is it's all the same code base. It's all one Ubuntu. So there there are different disks. There's Ubuntu, which is the desktop. There's the Ubuntu server. If you don't like the default desktop interface, there's so many in the free software world, There's KDE, there's LXE, there's all sorts of different ones. Mm-hmm. So the community spins different disks. There's Kubuntu, Lubuntu, it's all Ubuntu at the core, even the server, desktop, they're the same. The difference is what do you get from an install out of the box as default.
Gotcha.
And then you can take that starting point and recreate any of those varieties, but the finished disk sort of gives you a starting point that's really polished.
Gotcha, understand that. So, and you talked about the long-term support, so as I go in and I'm want to build a server or something, or a virtual machine in a cloud or something like that, based on the server OS, that long-term support means what?
So it means that not only have we kind of pulled back on the extra cool cutting-edge features, but just to let everything settle and really focus on bugs, bug fixing, and so on. Because a new version of Ubuntu comes out every 6 months, mm-hmm. we only support each release with security maintenance fixes for 9 months. But for each LTS release, we say for 5 years on the desktop and server, we're going to do security. We're going to fix any security flaws we find. We're going to do little bug fix maintenance releases just through the normal software updater.
All right. And that's the canonical part, is taking care of that. They're tracking those bugs, identifying priorities. And do they actually write the fixes, or is the community writing the fixes?
It's really a bit of both.
Okay.
Canonical's there so that if the community gets bored and works on the latest and greatest, we know that Canonical will step in. But in truth, there's such a sort of intermingling of both the community and Canonical that it's not really separable in that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now I know you mentioned that you'd written a book.
Yes.
Talk about that.
So I wrote a book this last year called Beginning Ubuntu for Windows and
Sounds
Mac
like
users.
I need that.
It's really great. Well, you see all these Ubuntu for beginners and Linux for beginners and so on. You see Windows for beginners and so on. I came up with this premise that most people know how to use a computer. They're experts. They've either used Windows for years or OS X for years. Mm-hmm. And so you know how to use a computer, right? You know how Word, if you've used Word, you can use LibreOffice or any of the other word processors. They're the same. If you used Thunderbird or Windows Mail, you know how to use email, right? You don't need that explained. But you need the different interfaces explained, the software. Windows actually stepped with the Windows Store. Now you can get apps from one single location. Right. And that's still new to a lot of people, even on Windows. Ubuntu's had that for years. And so instead of going to websites and trying to find the downloadable installer, which are people have been trained to do, and Ubuntu you can get it right from the software center. And so just as Windows users are sort of relearning that, and Ubuntu, someone coming to Ubuntu for the first time has to relearn that as well. So it's a book that sort of assumes the user is very competent, but needs the way Ubuntu works explained in just very simple, clear ways. If I want to do this, I use this software. If I want to do this, I use this software. And gives a sort of a tutorial on installing everything, getting oriented, and then everything from productivity, word processing, email, calendaring, playing DVDs, and so on. And then the fun stuff like virtualization and I don't know what it's called in Windows, but virtual desktops, is that task switching? Okay. And sort of make sure that in very short time, you're just as efficient on Ubuntu.
Awesome. Yeah, that's cool. What was the title again?
Beginning Ubuntu for Windows and Mac Users.
And where can people find that?
You can find that on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or directly from the publisher at apress.com. And in fact, if you buy the print version, you can also get the ebook for $5 from Apress, and it's a really great value.
Yeah, I've done.
You can search it.
Right. Done that a number of times on other books from Apress, so that's great. Yeah, good to know. And that's actually the one other thing I'd meant to ask about was, I saw Ubuntu on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
It's so exciting. So when I said Ubuntu is the same everywhere, desktop, server, and so on, it's also the exact same Ubuntu on the phone. We've taken our Unity interface and we've improved it and optimized it for touchscreen only, and now we're expanding that back to be perfect for the desktop. So Ubuntu 16.04 LTS comes out in April 2016, and that'll be a long-term support release.
Mm-hmm.
Now that that's anyone needs stability can stay there. 16.10 is where the fun begins. We're going to take all the technology we develop on the phone, bring it to the desktop. Phone and desktop apps are going to be the same, just like the Windows Universal apps. We're doing the same type of thing where the same code runs everywhere. That's cool. The phone, it's a beautiful phone first, but you can install a terminal, you get a prompt, you can do all your Linux-y stuff that everyone loves. You get all that power of Ubuntu with the ease of use as well.
Now, is that your hardware, or is that any, what device is that?
So we have manufacturer partners. We have BQ in Europe, we have Meizu in China, and we're in talks with others. It's not in the U.S. yet, but we've been in talks, and there's tablet hardware coming out, so we hope that by the end of this year, very early next year, there'll be U.S. hardware as well. If somebody wanted to try it out right now, they could go to eBay and find a Nexus 4 and download and install it, and it works really great.
Well, Nathan, really appreciate your time today, and looking forward to playing around with your book and Ubuntu.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.